Father John, can you tell us the background or the saga of this story about drug trafficking to Hong Kong from African countries?
Yes, Ben. I've been a prison chaplain in Hong Kong, or as they say here, lockup. And I go to a prison almost every day in Hong Kong. And there's lots of Africans there. And 2 years ago, 2013, I was very disturbed to see a big increase in Africans from Tanzania. In April, May, June 2013, three or four or five a week were being arrested at Hong Kong Airport for drug trafficking. Most of them had the drugs inside their bodies, in their stomachs. Some had them in luggage and that. I said to them, write to your friends, your family, your churches, your politicians, your media. Tell people, stop bringing drugs to Hong Kong. Because they had been fooled, many of them. They had been told it was easy to get into Hong Kong. In fact, it's very difficult. They had been told if you get caught, it's only 2 or 3 years. In fact, it's minimum of 7 or 8 years. Some of them, maybe many of them, were trying to get to China, which is a bigger drug market now than Europe. And some of them did not know that China has the death penalty. Several Africans were executed there in the last few years. I think there's another dozen or more on death row. So I was very worried about this, and I tried to get the men themselves to tell people, don't take drugs to Hong Kong, Macau, China. But they kept coming. 1 week in July 2013, seven were arrested at Hong Kong Airport in 1 week. So at that stage, I got permission from the prison authorities in Hong Kong to get some of the men to write letters from my website to warn people in Tanzania and other parts of Africa about the danger of taking drugs to Hong Kong. And the effort was very blessed because the Citizen newspaper in Tanzania and Jamii forums and some private bloggers, they saw my website straight away. And the first letter from an inmate, it had something like 5,000 views in the first week. And the message started spreading very quickly. And as a result, instead of three or four or five a week, for the next 8 months, from August 2013 onwards, for 8 months, only one was arrested at Hong Kong Airport. And I was very grateful for that. But then in April, May last year, 2014, another group came, about 12 or 13. The drug lords started using new tactics, using country people instead of city people. Country people didn't know about the dangers, or telling people only at the last minute when they got to the airport which country they were going to, because Tanzanians at that stage did not need a visa for Hong Kong, or using women instead of men. So we stepped up the campaign again and some more media articles. And now the last 8 months, backwards from here, January 2015, again, in 8 months, only one new one arrested at Hong Kong Airport. So it's been very blessed, the campaign, and the main aim is to just stop people from going to prison in Hong Kong.
Father John, in their letters, those inmates are convicted for drug trafficking to Hong Kong. What was the subject matter in the letters to the relatives back in Tanzania?
Well, the letters they wrote for me, I did say to them, don't mention names or any details to identify you because it could be dangerous for your family. Don't mention sensitive details about the prison. Just mention what a terrible thing it is to be in prison, to be arrested, the harm and hurt it causes for your family. Just mention these things, how you were tricked into doing it. Just warn people about the dangers. So that was the sort of thing they put in their letters. And in the first letter, one guy very bravely even mentioned the names of some of the drug lords. He wasn't afraid. In fact, most of the guys there, they are very angry with the drug lords who tricked them. Some of these men in prison, most of them, they're not criminals. They're very poor people. And some of them were trying to get, all of them nearly, were trying to get money for their families. Some of them were trying to get money for, because their children or other members of their family needed big operations. And this is how at least one of the drug lords works, a guy called Shakuba, who's now been arrested. And he would find out who needs an operation for their child. And then he'd say, okay, I'll put up the money, you take drugs to Hong Kong. So that sort of tactic was used. And but in the first letter, one guy mentioned 7 or 8, 9 names. And since then, I think three or four of those drug lords have been arrested. One of the most recent was a guy called Chonji. So I'm sure the police and drug authorities in Tanzania already knew about these guys. But the letter hopefully encouraged them to try harder. And maybe there was some other information the men gave me I didn't put on the internet, but I passed on to authorities. And that might have helped also to have those guys arrested. I've been very careful in trying to chase the drug lords, not to have them arrested in China. I've said to any, if I've given any information to authorities, I always say, please don't arrest him in China because of the death penalty. Wait until he comes through Hong Kong or Macau, then grab him. I hope they go to prison for a long time, but I don't want to see them killed.
But Father John, you advise the inmates to write letters to relatives, friends, to warn them about the dangers of being in prison for that business. But you say they didn't mention their names. Oh, the names of the families. So how did the relatives come to know that whoever writing this letter is jailed in Hong Kong?
Well, in the beginning, some people said the letters were not genuine because in the beginning they were not written in their own handwriting because that might identify them. So some people said they're not genuine. But a sign of their genuineness was how the drug lords took them seriously, and at least one family was threatened. People guessed who the man was, and they threatened his family. And also, as one or two other drug lords were arrested, people began to realize the letters were genuine. So the aim of the letters was not so much for their families, but for wider audience, to tell people of the danger. And as people realized that letters were genuine, then more people paid attention to what they said.
So the objective of your call to the inmates was trying to warn them and to create some awareness that what they are doing is not really right, is dangerous for their lives and for their families, isn't it?
That's right, Ben. The men were trying to take a shortcut to get money for their families, especially for sick members who needed operations. But it didn't work. And I know of one family where a young mother was at home with three small children, and the father was arrested in Hong Kong. And now, as a result of his arrest, the mother has to work, and she's working two jobs. One job starts at 6 o'clock in the morning till about 2, and another one from 2 till evening. So it's really caused great harm to her family, and she's not at home minding the smaller children. Grandparents have to do that. Another big problem is that with the main wage earner locked up, most of these families are having a big struggle to pay school fees and medical fees for their children. So that's another reason for my visit here, not just to spread the news about the campaign, but also to visit the families, meet with the families, and with the help of some friends in Hong Kong and Australia and the UK, I've been able to get a little bit of money. It's not a great deal, but it's a fair bit by local standards here, to be able to give a little bit to most of the families when I check that they're really in big need for fees for their children. I get a local person to come with me, and I check very carefully. And the people don't know. They don't know I might be able to help them. And they're just meeting up, but if I realize that they are in big need, I try to give them a little bit.
Father John, have you ever met with families of the inmates here in Tanzania?
Yes, I've been here since December 31, Ben, apart from 4 days I went to Malawi. to visit a Hong Kong volunteer who works with the poor there. That was a moving experience. But in the week or two I've been in this part of the world, I've met about 8 or 9 family members. I met one this morning, there's another one tonight, there's one yesterday. I'm meeting them gradually. There's somebody helping me, and I'm hoping to meet about another 15 or 20 before I go. Some of them are not in Darussalam, they're in other places, and I'm hoping to meet up with them. And so it's a beautiful experience. It's very moving for me. There was one mother, her daughter is locked up, and she said, I really like talking to you. She said, it makes me happy. She said, it's like talking to my daughter. I thought, wow, that's very moving. And one or two others have said things like that too. So for me, it's a very beautiful experience. I'm happy. And I've got a little notebook in which the prisoners have written some notes and messages for their families in Swahili. And I show the families that, and it makes them very happy. And then I get the families to write a message back in another notebook, and that will make the prisoners happy. And I take a photo with the family members, and I'll take that back, and that will make the inmates happy. If the family members agree, I put the photo on my website, but because I'm trying to create awareness. But if it's not convenient or it could be dangerous, I won't put it on the website. And I don't mention any names, no names or details.
So before coming to Tanzania, you met the inmates in Hong Kong, and they told you about their families so that it would be easier for you to meet them here in Tanzania. And so they have admitted that they have those are their relatives, of which you revealed to them that they are already inmates in Hong Kong.
Yes, that's right. I said in Hong Kong a month or two before I left Hong Kong, I told the inmates in the main prisons where they are that I was going to Tanzania. Would anybody like me to contact their family? I didn't force anybody or push anyone. And I didn't have much time because this was a bit of a last-minute idea, but about almost 30 gave me details either personally or by letter. And that's the 25 or 30 I'm trying to contact. And the families, they are very happy to meet someone who's seen their inmate relatives. And some of them, I've got to be careful what I say, because the children, most of the children in the families don't know the father, say, or mother is in prison. We just say they're at university, they're studying in Hong Kong. And they're doing, in fact, to be honest, there's some friends of mine, we're actually helping some of the inmates to study, to do university courses. So it's not a complete lie.
That's great.
So we're hoping when they come out, they'll have a degree, and a business degree or some other degree, and we help get books for them.
Father John, have you talked to Tanzanian authorities, because already the inmates have revealed to you that there are drug lords who are dealing with this business, and we are just couriers of the business, so we don't own the business. So have you got any sort of cooperation with the authorities in Tanzania?
Yes, I have been. I had a very beautiful meeting a few days ago with Mr. Godfrey Nzoa. He's a bit afraid that I mentioned the meeting. He's afraid of my safety, but I admire him so much that I'm not afraid to say it. And we shared some information. He's doing a wonderful job trying to tighten things up. In fact, I'd like to think, I might be wrong, but I like to think that my campaign supported him and helped him to bring this issue to the surface. Before the campaign, I think this issue was not so important, or it wasn't given such prominence in Tanzania. And I think since the campaign started, there's been a lot of media coverage, and people have been saying, come on, we've got to do something. And I'd like to think that gave Mr. Nzoa support. And as a result, he's been able to crack down on security at Darussalam Airport, and now more recently at Kilimanjaro and other airports. The drug traffickers, of course, they keep changing their plans. But now that they know Mr. Nzoa has tightened security at local airports, Tanzanian airports. Unfortunately, they're using Nairobi or other places, even getting people to go to other countries to pick up drugs. But Mr. Nzoa has done a wonderful job tightening security at the airports, and he's arrested a number of local drug lords, some big ones. Guiji was the most recent, and he's doing a very wonderful and a very dangerous job, and I just hope more people can support him and persuade the drug lords to try some other business, because they're hurting so many families. It's a great shame to see a person locked up, and for me it's like new slavery. You know, I think of the slaves that were taken from Africa to other countries, and these guys and women taking drugs are like slaves, and it's not good. It's wrong, it's harmful to society, it's bad for their families. And I just call on the drug lords, they must have some sort of conscience, to stop hurting other people, do some other job, put some of your ill-earned money back into society to help some poor people, to make up for what you've done. You must have some sort of conscience and help Tanzania become a much better place. Clean up the drugs here, because unfortunately, with all the corruption, Tanzania's got a bad reputation for drug trafficking. There's more than 110 Tanzanian inmates in Hong Kong now, and it's very, very sad. It's especially sad to see the women there. I know of at least three Tanzanian women. There's more than that, but these three especially, because they were persuaded by the drug lords to get pregnant. And then when they were showing about 6 months pregnant, then they were persuaded to swallow capsules, usually from Tanzania. It's heroin from Nigeria, it's cocaine. And they were persuaded to swallow the capsules and go to Hong Kong. But Hong Kong's security is so tight that it was mission impossible, and they were arrested. They've had their babies. I know the three babies. One of them's actually come back to Tanzania now, being looked after by grandparents. Two others are still in Hong Kong. One is in prison with the mother. The other is at an orphanage. They're allowed to keep their babies in prison for three years. And after that, they have to go either to an orphanage or back to their family or friends. So I just hope that this sort of publicity like this can really stop once and for all the drug mules going to Hong Kong, China and Macau.
Father John, what are really these inmates telling you? What is the motive behind for trying to involve themselves in this dirty business?
Well, Ben, there are some of them who've been involved for a while, and it's not their first time. They happen to get caught this time because security in Hong Kong is tighter than ever also. It keeps tightening up. But I get the impression most of them have done this. It's their first time to break the law like this. They're not criminals. Most of them have done it to try to get money for their families, for medical operations, for school fees, because people here are so poor. The wages are so low. You know, I'm surprised to learn that most workers, you're lucky to get 5,000 shillings a day, which, you know, is so little. And it's no wonder people try to take shortcuts to get money for their families. It's just survival here. And that's the main reason most of them have done this sort of thing. I just hope no more will do it.
Yeah. So, Father John, I think you have decided to deal with the issue this campaign, and personally see that you are in danger, as Mr. Nzoa is saying, but you are so courageous that you have taken this initiative, that you have to create awareness to the youth that they should opt for another business, not this kind of business. So are you not scared, Father John?
I am.
Of this?
I am scared, Ben, especially when Mr. Nzoa warned me and others warned me also. In fact, I was scared coming here. But like Mr. Nzoa, I've got an insurance policy up in heaven.
Yeah.
And there's somebody up there looking after me, looking after us, and I put my trust in God there. I help all the inmates in Hong Kong, whether they're Muslim or Christian. We all work together, and I've asked them to pray for me for a safe trip here, and I'm sure the good Lord is blessing this work. And I'd pray especially for Mr. Nzoa, because he's got the more dangerous job, and he has to have people with guns protecting him. I haven't got any guns. Another good thing before I forget is that, not good thing, it's a bad thing, but it's helping this campaign. That's Ebola.
Ebola campaign.
Because now, as a result of that, anybody going from Africa, even East Africa, to Hong Kong or other parts will be checked extra carefully. So when I go back, I will be checked top to toe and all my luggage, and which means that if anybody's foolish or stupid enough to try to take drugs to Hong Kong for the time being, even though Ebola is on the West Coast, but you're from Africa, it doesn't mean you've been to Africa. So at the moment, anybody trying to take drugs to Hong Kong is... And if they know you're from Africa, even if you haven't gone directly from Africa, you might have gone through Malaysia or Thailand or somewhere else, or South America even, you've got an African face and an African passport, you're a sitting duck. So I hope, it's a sad thing for Ebola happening, but from the point of view of the campaign, it's been a big support.
Have you visited your fellow priest here in Tanzania just to talk or share your experience in this business, and if possible, for themselves to create awareness to their followers, to their believers in their churches that, okay, please don't do this?
Oh, good question, Ben. I met with one priest to ask about, is it possible for Catholic schools to give a discount for school fees, but he explained that the schools have got a very strict budget. They're already taking a big number of students free at discounts, and he said the best thing is for local groups to support each other, but not so simple for some of the inmates, because they don't want people to know, or the families don't want people to know why the father is missing. But I did try last year or the year before to contact radio station and others here, but I didn't succeed. I tried contacting church members. I sent emails. I phoned. I never got an answer. So if any church groups, Catholic, Protestant, Evangelical, Muslim, any groups could help in telling people about the danger of drug trafficking, nothing would make me happier. I'd be happy that they're welcome to contact me by email, jdwomi@gmail.com. I'd be most grateful for support. The Citizen newspaper here in Mwananchi, they've been very good. The more publicity we can have, the better, especially among poorer people. If this message can reach people in the poorer areas of the country, in the villages, because as the city people know more about it, know more about the dangers, the drug lords are using people who don't know, simple people. They even go to rural areas and promise rewards and so on. They use all sorts of terrible tactics. It's not just Tanzania, it's other countries as well. I know one inmate from Nigeria. There's a lot from Nigeria as well. They used to be the biggest number, but now they've gone right down, and it's Tanzania which has gone up. There are some naughty Nigerians who, of course, use Tanzanian passports, but they're a tiny minority. But I know one Nigerian guy. His parents, he said, were killed by Boko Haram, and to get money for his parents' funeral and to shift his family to a safer place, he borrowed money. And only afterwards did he find out that the people he borrowed money from were drug lords. And they found out that he had been to Hong Kong as a trader, buying telephones and things, to mobiles, to bring back to Tanzania, back to Nigeria. So they forced him. A guy called Chief, that's what the only name he gave of the drug lord in Nigeria. I'm sure there's plenty of chiefs there, but this drug lord's name, I remember, he forced this guy to take drugs to Hong Kong, and the poor guy was caught. And now he feels so terrible. But this is the sort of tactic that the drug lords use. They are not very nice people, and again, I would say to them, come on, you guys, come on, you've got some sort of goodness in you. It's about time you stop this. This is like Ebola, and you can stop it by doing something else. Come on.